of Philippians in this morning, the book of Philippians, chapter number 4 here. Philippians chapter number 4, we began last week looking at verse 13 in detail, and we're memorizing verse 13. I think we already have it memorized yet. Yes?
Yes.
Right? Philippians 4:13. Let's read it out loud together. Those that are listening on the internet, you guys can read it out loud in your home as well. It says this: I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your word this morning. We thank you for the reminder from your word that Christ is our strength. He is our resource. He is our hope. He is our all in all. And so, Father, help us to remember that regardless of the times in which we live, remind us that we still live in the dispensation of your grace. And you, from heaven to the earth, to humanity, you're still calling forth and holding forth the word of life with the message of the gospel of your grace. And you're doing that through us, your ambassadors to a lost and a dying world. And Father, we see throughout the world today that there's somewhat of an awakening that the people have, a sense of a desire for liberty and freedom. And yet, Father, what they really need to see is true liberty, true freedom is found in the person of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we ask that as we would remember things like that, that we would make it a priority in our lives to hold forth the word of life, because that's what they need. That's what the world needs, that true liberty, that true freedom is found in our glorious Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we give thee praise and honor. Amen. Let's say out loud again from memory Philippians 4:13. It says what? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, we looked at this in some detail last week. We didn't get it all done, so we have several more things we want to address this morning in the time that we have remaining. And I had some interesting emails that came in, one in particular that I want to share with you. I don't have it up on my phone, so I won't be able to quote it word for word, but I'll tell you what it says. You'll recall, who knows what Galatians 2:20 says? Do you remember what Galatians 2:20 says? I am what? Crucified with Christ, nevertheless what? I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I what? I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I mentioned last week that Philippians 4:13, does anybody know what Philippians 4:13 says? What's it? What's it say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13 is the Galatians 2:20 of the book of Philippians. We talked about that, the connection between the two. And dear brother Jim, who is used to be, he and his wife part of the ministry here, they now live in Arizona out there and everything, and he'll email me every once in a while. Great student of the Word. He and his wife both really love the Lord. And the Word got divided out of a King James Bible. And he emailed me, and he made a real significant, important observation about that connection with Galatians 2:20 and Philippians 4:13. Does anybody know what Philippians 4:13 says? What does it say? Tell me what it says. Come on, what does it say? Excellent, very good. Okay, by the way, did anybody have a chance to use that verse this week? What about the rest of y'all? Come on now. I had a lot of chances. I didn't ask, did I use it? I didn't say, did I use it? I said, did I have a chance to use it, okay? But he made the observation that really Galatians 2:20 is a prerequisite to Philippians 4:13. You got to first understand that we have the life of Christ, that Christ is our life, Galatians 2:20. That understanding is what prepares us, equips us, enables us, allows us to then go to the next level, so to speak, and your understanding that therefore Christ is my strength from day to day, from moment to moment. Isn't that a wonderful connection to think about that? So how important that is to make that connection that, yes, Galatians 2:20, Christ is my life. I am. Who knows what Galatians 2:20 says? I am what? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, notice, of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So understanding that Christ is my resource, He is my life, that now sets me up to be able to appreciate what Paul says in Philippians, I can do all things, what? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Last week, we began to look in greater detail at that passage over in Philippians, when he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Who remembers the word strength? The word strength. What does it mean? The word strength. Who remembers? What does that mean? Do you remember that? What's that? What?
Power.
Strength is the idea of capacity or ability to do something. Right? It's the capacity, the ability to affect something. We use the example that if you're sick and in bed, sometimes people will say, they'll say the person doesn't have the strength to get up and go maybe get a cup of soup, or the strength to go and use the bathroom. So they're still alive, but they're just sick and they don't have the energy, the capacity to stand up. And then when you're well and all recovered fully, now you not only have the strength to get up and out of bed, but you actually maybe have the strength to get up and clean house, or the strength to get up and mow the lawn, or go for a run, right? Ken loves exercise. He's looking for that strength, right? So understand the idea of strength is the idea of capacity, ability to get something done. So when that verse says, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. He has our life. We now are coming to understand that He is also our capacity, our resource to get something done. Now, I want you to turn back with me first to the book of Romans in chapter number 5. There is a major problem with personal strength. And I'm not when I say personal strength, I'm not talking about the ability to, you can do, say, 10 push-ups as compared to 50 push-ups, okay, or 10 sit-ups compared to 100 sit-ups. Look at this passage here. Look at Romans chapter number 5. Look at Romans chapter number 5 and notice at verse 6. And then I have a question for you. Romans 5 verse 6, it says this. For when we were yet, notice, without strength. You see that? Without strength. Okay. He says, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, what is Paul's point there about the idea of being without strength? That is, without strength to do what? To save ourselves, number one. So again, he's not talking about, you know, push-ups or weightlifting or bench press or cycling or that kind of thing. We had no spiritual ability, no capacity to save ourselves from hell. The opposite of that is what people think is true. They think they do have the moral standing, the moral capacity, the moral ability to do right and therefore be saved by God. Therefore earn heaven. Therefore be worthy of being accepted by God. So I ask this question, what is the problem with the belief that you do have strength? And again, I'm not talking about the strength to do pull-ups. Okay? What is the problem with the belief that you do have the strength, the capacity, the ability? Okay, it's false, but why is it false?
You'll eventually trip up and then...
What's that, Jim?
You'll fail.
Okay, you'll fail to do what?
Save yourself.
To save yourself. Why?
Because you haven't
obeyed the law.
Okay, what'd you say? You don't recognize your need. Why else? That's true. About it. Why else? Why else? What's that? What's okay. We already have a problem. Before we even try to save ourselves, we are already lost. A person doesn't become lost as a result of rejecting the gospel. Can I tell you some news you need to hear? You may not like it, but it's the truth. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for your personal Savior, you are already lost. You don't get lost as a result of hearing and rejecting the gospel. You already have a sin problem and therefore a death problem. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. The reason you are dying in your body is because of sin is resident in the flesh. That's why you are dying. It has nothing to do with how many vitamins you take or how much exercise you do ultimately. You do good exercise, you take good vitamins, and all you do is you extend your life. But you know what? The famous movie, I think it was Gladiator, the guy says that, what do you do when death comes and smiles at you? And the guy says, well, you know what? All you can do is smile back because he's going to get you. You know that? You can fight against it all you want. You can reject death all you want. But you know what? Given enough time, death is still going to get your body. You know why? Because of sin. You've got a DNA problem, okay? As it were. You've got a sin problem. And what's that?
I understand that.
Yeah, amen. That's the issue right there. So if you understand sin and death, what's the only answer for death?
Life.
Life is what you need. Understand that? That's what you need. And that is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Him alone. Him alone. The idea of when that verse says, for when we were yet without strength, the belief that we have enough strength to save ourselves, to be good enough, to be worthy of God's mercy and love, all of those things are total lies. Christ Jesus came in the world to save not people who were worthy of being saved. The Bible says He came in the world to save sinners. And the only way that a sinner is saved by the Savior of sinners is when a sinner recognizes they're lost, condemned, hell-deserving condition. That's the only way. Because until you get to that place, you think that somehow you can be good enough. Somehow there's something you can do in your life to God, to cause God to look over the banisters of heaven and smile upon your life and say, you know, yeah, you finally did enough. So now your good works will outweigh your bad works. And yeah, come on and join the party. All of that is religious, utter lies and nonsense. Christ Jesus, Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He never sinned one time, not in thought or word and deed. Well, if the wages of sin is death, then why would someone who never sinned, not even one time in thought, word, and deed, why would he die? Why did he take and receive the paycheck of someone like me? Because he died for my sins. That is an absolute clear disclosure of my condition. Listen. Don't interrupt. That's rude. Listen. The Word of God is what the Word of God says. His death on the cross was the disclosure of our need. A very clear disclosure. Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. and that he was buried. And then what happened 3 days later? He rose again the third day. Look at that verse again, if you would. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Look at Romans 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet, what does it say? Without strength. See, we didn't have the strength to save ourselves. We did not have anything to bring to the transaction. We did not have anything to bring to the table and to offer to God. That verse says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who? What does it say there? That verse says he died for the ungodly. Then wait a minute. If you don't think you're ungodly, not only do you not believe that verse, you don't think you need the Savior who came to save the ungodly. Notice what else he goes on to say. Verse 8. It says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were... in that while we stopped sinning. Is that what that verse says? That verse says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
The love of God doesn't say this. It doesn't say, stop sinning and then I'll love you. The love of God says, you can't stop sinning. If you can stop sinning, you don't need me, God says. He says, you can't stop sinning. I sent my Son to taste death for sinners. If you're not a sinner, condemned and worthy of hell, you don't need the Lord Jesus Christ who tasted death for sinners. You just don't need Him. You're good enough yourself. Forget about Him. You can get yourself there. Not, by the way. He goes on to say at verse 10, for if when we were what? Look at that. Look at that verse. He says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by what? Because we were good people? Because we did good deeds? Because we promised God we'd do better next time? Because we did our best? We tried our best? That verse says, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Being reconciled to God has nothing to do with the conduct of our life, promises that we can make. That verse says, being reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by my life? By our life? By our good works? That verse says, by His life. Look at what he said here. In this passage, he said we were, I'm going to go W-O, that's without strength. While we were yet sinners, while we were enemies. You believe that about, that was your condition? If you don't believe that about your condition, then you not only are not saved now, you're never going to get saved as long as you don't believe that that's your need. Now this is so critical to grasp this. First of all, in order to get saved, truly to get saved by the God who saves those who are without strength, those who cannot contribute to their salvation, those who are yet sinners, those who are enemies. God is in the business of saving enemies. All these people, I mean, the common denominator of all this is need. And you see yourself that way, it magnifies the amazing grace of God and love of God to a degree that you would otherwise not see. You see, if we think we have enough strength to please God by our good works, do you realize that what a belittling of the holiness and nature of God that is? That's bringing God down as though your good works can make you good enough. If you think, well, hey, I can stop sin. Well, if you can, then number one, why aren't you? Number two, what do you need Christ for? And number three, if you think, well, I was never an enemy of God, you're calling God a liar. You're saying, no, God, you don't actually know my heart. I'm not your enemy. I didn't write this book. Did you all know that?
Amen.
This is what God's Word says. But it's when you come to see yourself in that predicament and you see Jesus Christ there hanging on the cross, an old, bloody, cruel, grotesque, awful-looking death. His flesh ripped from his body. You look at him on the cross there, the crown of thorns and everything, and his eyes looked right at you, and he says, I'm tasting this death for you. I'm doing this because of my love for you, and because you could not contribute in any way to this. And you come to see the Lord Jesus Christ dying your death. 3 days later, He being raised from the dead. You look at that and say, that is the most amazing, earth-shattering, universe-declaring display of the love and goodness of grace of Almighty God ever disclosed. And you see in that crosswork the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the extent of the love of God. And now you can begin to grasp and appreciate Galatians 2:20. Yet not I, but Christ. Yet not I, but Christ. And the more you grasp that and appreciate that, now you can come and appreciate Philippians chapter 4:13. I can do all things. Not through myself. I never had the strength in the first place. I couldn't stop sinning. Even to this day, I sin, if you're honest with yourself. And even in my flesh, Romans 8 says, the flesh is enmity. That's like an enemy. The flesh is enmity against God. Not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we come to see the desperate nature of our flesh. And I'm talking about a saved person now. When we come to see the desperate nature of our flesh, our need of not only Christ who is our life eternally, now, forever, but Christ to also be our resource, our strength. You know, we now can go back and say, wow, He saved me when I was without strength. He died for me when I was yet sinning. He reconciled me when I was His enemy. If that's what He did for me and toward me when I was in this condition, now that He's placed me in Christ, and I still have this flesh that doesn't have the strength, if I as a believer had in my capacity and ability to quote-unquote please God, why do I need Christ in my life? Why do I need Him now? I could just do it on my own. But the more and more that we as believers go through this life and struggle with whatever it is you struggle with, the more and more we're brought to that place where we recognize, wow, I have Christ as my life, but also as my strength, also as my resource. I'm going to have you turn with me over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. See, the problem with personal strength and the idea of believing that we can contribute, it rests in self-sufficiency. Let me use an illustration. Remember bold, brave, strong, tough Peter? Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ told all the disciples, He said, you know, you guys are all going to turn away from me. You're all going to forsake me. What did Peter say? He said, not me, Lord. He said, though all men forsake Thee, I will never forsake Thee. I will never deny Thee. He said, Lord, Don't you know I will give up my life for you? Peter had that exactly backwards. It's like Christ is saying, no, Peter. You're not the one that's going to give your life for me. I'm going to give my life for you. And as long as you have your self-sufficiency, you say, I am good enough. I'm strong enough. I will never deny you. I'll never walk away. I'll stand with you to the death. And Peter meant all that, by the way. But all it took was, as the Scripture identifies this woman, just a maid. Just a servant of the high priest. For a woman just to say to him, you also are with him. It took just a few words. Not just to knock Peter down a couple of notches, but to take him all the way down. And after he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, and the Lord Jesus Christ was walking, being led, bound and everything, and their eyes meet together, Peter looks at Christ. Christ looks right at Peter. And of course, Christ doesn't condemn him at all. But Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. He has that broken and a contrite spirit. Peter came to see the best place to be, the greatest place to be, is a recognition of I am without strength. I thought that I could stand and defend him. I was sure I would never deny him. I was so self-confident. And it just took a few words from a little servant girl there to bring him down to where he needed to be brought down to. What an amazing, wonderful lesson for Peter. You see, when we come to the place as believers now, those who are saved, those who are in Christ, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, eternally saved forever, nothing shall be able to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. When we come to that place in our life and realize day to day, moment by moment, Christ is my life right here, right now, so that He also can be my strength right here, right now. The reminder that He is my all in all. Look at this passage here in 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Watch how Paul amplifies this issue. Look at 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. 2 Corinthians 1:8, it says this. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed," what's this? "Out of measure," and then what does he say there? Above strength. There's our word strength again. "In so much that we despaired even of life." When he's writing down that experience that happened to him, when he says, "In so much that we despaired even of life," remember, this mob was out to kill him. What did it appear to him at the time that likely was to happen? Yeah. He was going to die. That they were going to crush him. and he was, when it says pressed out of measure, just get a picture of that. Pressed out of measure, above strength. Can I use a graphic example? Next time you step on a cockroach and crush it, okay. That'll wake some of you up, okay. That cockroach has an exoskeleton. It's got a certain skeleton that's a capacity to hold certain things. Now you step on it, and you know, you put the pressure above strength, and it can't hold it, it crushes it, right? Paul, as he's describing there, he says, "Man, I was pressed out beyond my own personal capacity to withstand the pressure. We despaired even of life." Now watch what he says. "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves." Why? "That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. That's why. Paul found himself in the midst of the mob there. They're trying to kill him. It was almost certain it looked like he was going to die. And God didn't intervene. God didn't send some angel to come and slay all the mob. He didn't do that. But God did intervene in Paul's thinking, in his heart, in his understanding. What was Paul's understanding? Look at that. Verse 9, it says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who would rescue us from the mob." You know what that verse says? But in God who would beat up the bad guys and save the white hats. That's not what that verse says. That verse says, "But in God which raiseth the dead." Paul, all he could do at that point, he was sure he was going to die. He was not expecting God to beat up the bad guys and rescue him that way. He said, "I was brought to the place of death and the realization that all I can do is simply trust that God, He is going to raise me from the dead in the future. I'm going to believe in God who's going to raise me from the dead. Even if I die right now, out there at the rapture, He's going to raise me from the dead." You see what he trusted there? This predicament he found himself in, above measure, beyond strength, brought him to probably the greatest place to be. And that is the awareness of the great blessing of being without strength. And therefore, learning to trust God's Word. Trust what He says, who He is. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Right there, Christ was strengthening Paul. To bring Paul just to rest. That even if he was to die right then and there, that God would raise him from the dead. That God was true to His Word. I'm going to give you some homework between now and next week. Now and 2 weeks. Next week is the conference. So between now and next week, here's what I want you to do, please. I want you to go and read and think about 2 Corinthians 4... You're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You're going to read 7 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 through 18. You're also going to read, please, 2 Corinthians 12, so same book. And you're going to read 7 all the way down through verse 10, 7 through 10. And you'll find that these all go together. It's amazing how all these passages explain each other and amplify the fact that Jesus Christ, He's not only our life, He is our strength when we're without strength. We come to learn that. When we realize that in and of our flesh, you can't please God. And He doesn't tell you to, by the way. He gives us Christ. And the life of a believer now is a life pursuing, learning how to let Christ, who is our life, to let Him be our life. How to let Christ, who is our strength, to learn to let Him be our strength. Truly one of the greatest lessons ever over a lifetime to learn as a believer. I can do all things. What does it say, Philippians 4:13? I can what? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time to look into Your Word this morning. We thank You for Your precious and holy Word that reminds us not just that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, but we are the sinners that He died for. and that His resurrected life is what we have now, that He is our strength, our hope, and our all in all. In His name we give Thee praise and honor and glory forever. Amen.
Thanks.